Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, everybody. I'm super excited to have a great guest today, and he's a comrade and a musician, and we got to jam together down at NAMMS. I mean, the guy is just fabulous. His name is Mike Stewart, and he's got some great stuff to teach you guys today. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing best. The best I've done in weeks, so I'm doing great.
I love that. So let's learn a little bit about Mike. I know that the one thing that we have in common is we both owned recording studios, and you've worked with some great musicians. I've worked with some great celebrities and sports people and all that kind of stuff. But I'd really like my audience to know, you know, kind of where you got started and how'd you get into internet marketing, what you're doing today.
Well, I was a piano major in college, so I'm a, you know, my education was I was majoring in piano music, and I realized that you know, getting a degree in piano would pretty much just allow me to be prepare me to be a piano teacher. But what I wanted to be was a session musician, people who played piano and keyboards in recording opportunities. So when I moved to Atlanta in 1976, I worked on figuring out a way that I would be able to do my passion of play music and write music. And so that's why in 1979, and I opened my first recording studio with a four-track TIAC, if you remember those machines, Brian, which was a four-track tape recorder and a mixing console. And we started doing songwriter demos, and we started doing jingles. Actually did a lot of jingles that played on Atlanta radio on my four-track. And so we built a jingle business, and then we started doing corporate communications and records. And because of a man here in Atlanta named Bill Lowry, he was Mr. Atlanta Music. He was involved with Atlanta Rhythm Section, 38 Special, Starbuck. I mean, there were so many groups, Southern rock groups that recorded here in Atlanta, and we got to work with those guys. And then there was also a soul music entity here in Atlanta. I worked with a guy named William Bell, Eddie Floyd, Isaac Hayes, Sam and Dave. These were all soul stars from the 60s that, you know, we did music with them in the 80s and 90s. So from 1979 to 1999, 20 years, I made a wonderful living writing music, playing piano, and recording everything and anything client-wise in my studio. But by 1999, I was just really realizing that, you know, I can't go the rest of my life coming into the studio and sitting behind the recording equipment and dealing with different types of clients. Some clients, I'm sure you agree, Brian, were a breeze, and some of them just, you dreaded them coming through the door because it was, you knew it was going to be painful.
Oh, yeah.
And I told my partner, I said, you know, this internet really looks like the new broadcast. You know, it was pretty primitive in 99 because the internet really kind of just started going around 94, 95. And so 3 years into the internet, it was still dial up. It was still slow connections. But I realized that the future of broadcast, the future of audio and video would be the pipeline of the internet. Because I was reading and staying up on a company called Real Media back in those days, Real Audio. And then, of course, Windows Media and a handful of other things started happening in 99. And it got to the point where my partner and I, we went our separate ways. We're still good friends today. But I said, I can't do the studio stuff anymore. I said, I believe this internet thing is going to be the future. So I actually taught myself web design. And I started selling websites to local businesses. In fact, I named my company, in fact, my corporation is still named to this day, soundpages.com. I used to build web pages with sound back in 99 because audio would stream on dial-up. And I started using audio in my marketing in 99. And a couple of years later into that, I built a whole other business separate from the studio of working with small local businesses building audio and hopefully I saw the future be video web pages. Now, video was very primitive in 99. It was almost a joke. It was 5 frames a second, very pixelated, about the size of a postage stamp, but it was still video that would stream on dial-up. And I just said, the future of audio and video is this internet connection. And I said, I want to understand everything it does. And by an interesting fluke, a client of mine said, you need to listen to this tape from internet marketers. And these were some of the pioneers back in 2000 who were talking about things I'd never heard of, such as advertising banner ads and pay-per-click advertising and email list building and sales copy. And, I mean, the list went on and on of things that I'd never heard of in my years of doing a recording studio. So I realized pretty quickly how my experience of radio and television could combine with internet marketing. So that's when I decided that I wanted to understand internet marketing, and I wanted to be a proponent of using audio and video to market my websites in those days.
Right. And see, that's the thing that I wanted to talk to you about is you really simplified the podcasting thing, because the last podcast that I did on podcasting, we talked with somebody, Scott Smith, who's fabulous, by the way. But he, like you and I, have this very techie background. And to this day, I mean, he's still got compressors and he's got, you know, microphones and mixing boards and enhancers and a bunch of technology in his office when he's doing his podcast. But you do it a little differently. I mean, you talk about, hey, you don't need all that stuff. I mean, it's nice if you can get it and you know what to do with it, but you can actually do it on your iPad, right? So how does that work?
Well, you know, that's the thing that a mentor of mine years ago said. You know, I have to tell you this quick story. A good friend of mine, Tom Antion, calls me up and he says, how do I record with my computer my high-quality audio? And I said, well, you need a large diaphragm microphone, a good studio microphone, the best one you can afford. You need to have some sort of USB audio mixer. You need a compressor and limiter to patch into the mixer, and that you need some sort of recording software that catches the signal from the audio USB audio mixer into your computer, and you need a pop filter for your microphone, and you know, you probably need to put your microphone on a desk stand or a scissor boom stand or a boom stand of some sort. And he said, you lost me at big microphone. He said, you got to dumb this down. He said, this is just way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember that. You know, I thought that was simple. I mean, you're talking about recording just a human voice. You're not talking about recording, you know, and I'm sure you did this, a live band or an 8-piece string section or doing, you know, brass overdubs,
mm-hmm.
or recording drums with 22 microphones. I mean, you know, that was engineering and that was complicated. This is just a voiceover. This is just one microphone and talking. And he said, that's too hard, it's too hard. Dumb it down, dumb it down. And that really stuck in my brain. So for years, really since 2000, almost 15 years now, my passion is to pull from the experience of the complex, but dumb it down to the point where somebody who doesn't have all that background can, in the shortest amount of time, start getting success. So I've witnessed computer programs over the years, and some of the feedback that I've gotten is people said, you know, I bought the camera, I bought the microphone, I bought the software you recommended, I looked at your tutorials, I'm still lost. I'm so frustrated. This is too hard. I quit. I give up. It's just not meant for me. And that broke my heart, Brian. It broke my heart to hear that people wanted to do it, bought everything. They weren't really mad at me. They just said, you know what, this just logically doesn't compute to me, you know. And I think there's some people that it resonates with, and then there's some people that just no matter how much you try to explain it, it just overwhelms them. Well, by a fluke of about 3 years ago, I just said, you know, I wonder how good the camera is in this iPad. Because when I bought an iPad, I didn't even want it. I just bought it for two reasons. One, I needed to go around to local businesses and make presentations, and I got tired of my laptop dying in 2 hours. So an iPad would run all day on a single charge. And I needed to show presentations, and I needed to log and check my email and, you know, just do a handful of internet functions. So I got an iPad for that. I didn't even use the camera when I got it. But one day I said, I wonder how good this camera is. And I was blown away at the audio and the video quality. And I said, I wonder if there's an editor program for video. And I searched the App Store, and of course there were a handful of them. And I found this $10 app called iMovie. So I said, $10, how bad can it be for $10? And what I realized is it was a deal changer, because it was good enough to do great video, but it didn't have so many overwhelming commands that somebody couldn't learn to use it quickly and easily. And that's what I've learned about apps over the years, is generally the learning curve on learning how to use these apps is so so much easier for people to be up and running and get results compared to computer software. Whereas, let's say, Sony Movie Studio or Apple's iMovie or Final Cut Pro, which is the Apple or Mac professional software, it may have 100,000 commands. Well, the app version is scaled down and may only have, you know, 100 commands that matter. So it's easier to learn. It's easier not to get lost. And, of course, when I did some testing with some clients and coaching clients, they got it faster. Like, I had a 60-year-old female nutritionist who had never made video in her life start making training videos and getting paid to make training videos for a corporation that she was involved with. You know, that would have been unheard of with professional software. So that's what got me hooked on the iPad, is the quality of the camera and the quality of the apps. So at the first of this year, a good colleague of mine who knows a lot about podcasting, he's been passionate about for years, said, Mike, you need to pay attention to podcasting. It's really on a resurgence. And he said, I want to tell you about a new iPad app called Boss Jock Studio. And it's a $10 app. And actually, there's a free version called Boss Jock Lite or Boss Jock Junior. I can't remember. And it's free. But what it does, when you hook a good microphone into your iPhone or your iPad, you can make high-quality podcasts. Basically, it turns your iPhone or your iPad into a radio station. And I don't know how many people have been in a radio station, but, you know, a radio station has a good microphone for the host or the DJ, and it has cart machines. Lots of, you know, a rack of those machines. It's all done on computer today. But back in the old day, the cart machine was a tape, like an 8-track tape player, a rack of them. And commercials and records and music and something called sweepers and themes and promos and transitions, all of the pre-recorded stuff was up on the cart machine, so that the person producing the live show could manipulate the recorded content in conjunction with his microphone and in real time and live spit out content for hours on end. Well, this app for $10 turns your device into that radio station experience. So all you need, and what got me excited about teaching it, is this app. And they make a new microphone for the iPad called the Apogee 96K Lightning Mic. And basically, it is a high-quality studio microphone. It's one of the best-sounding mics I've ever heard, Brian. I mean, it rivals some of the, you know, $1,000 and $2,000 microphones I used to own in my studio. It's only $229, but it's called the Apogee Mic, and it plugs directly into your iPad. It's powered by your iPad because it requires electricity to run the microphone. And it is so intuitive, and I don't know what they did in it, but it makes high quality recording with your device, with that app. So, and in fact, that's the microphone that they recommend with Boss Jock. So when I saw how easy this is, I went out and tested it with some of my coaching clients, and we got resounding results. In fact, one of my clients, Hal Coleman, who, if you go to iTunes and you search pest control marketing, those are his money-making keywords. And one of the things that, you know, I tell people, think of iTunes and podcast directories as search engines. You know, are you found for your money-making keywords in iTunes? or in any podcast directory for that matter. And Hal created the Pest Control Marketing Podcast. And he started building his audience, started building content at pestcontrolmarketingpodcast.com. And more importantly, when the publisher of his industry, leading industry magazine, heard his podcast, one of the things that was interesting, he emailed and he said, "Kudos on your new podcast, Hal. The audio quality is terrific." And little unbeknownst to him, it was recorded on an iPhone with an Apogee bike and the app.
Great stuff, Mike. So you have a system that's going to help people to learn how to use their iPads to create their own podcasts. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, it's a lot more than that. I mean, iPad is not required. In fact, in the training, we talk about how you can download a piece of software to your PC or Mac called Audacity, and you can actually produce a high-quality podcast with a free piece of software if you've got a good microphone. So number one, step one is, you know, the mindset. You know, why do this? What's the benefits? And then, more importantly, after you know the mindset, you know, what do you want to call it? You know, some people say, well, can I do it on my existing website? Absolutely. But I recommend making it its own entity. That's why I bought MikeStewartPodcast.com. That's why Hal bought Pest Control Marketing Podcast. In other words, your niche and the word podcast, the domain name is probably available. You know, and of course, that may help you get found for if somebody's looking for a nutrition tips podcast in Google. You might come up if your domain name was Nutrition Health Podcast or Nutrition Tips or Better Nutrition Podcast. You know, whatever it is you want. You know, I love how you got the bacon, bring home the bacon branding that you want to do. And that's awesome. But you, at some point in your life, you said, what am I going to call this thing? Well, that's what you got to do. And we talk about that in the training. You know, how to name it, by the name, set up WordPress, get the software you need, incorporate it and submit it to iTunes, and then start building your content. And, you know, we talk about how you can build audio content or video content for that matter. And, you know, I recommend starting with audio only. In fact, one of the things I teach is an app called Ringer, RINGR.US. It's an app that, I don't know if you've heard about it, Brian, but I can call you through the Ringer app on your cell phone and interview you, and it makes a high-quality MP3 that you can download after you finish the interview. That's a way we teach people to do interviews. Now, there's a multitude of ways you can do things, but then again, the last part is that, hey, have an open mind, get an iPad, and get these apps. You'll be amazed at the portability, you'll be amazed at the quality, you'll be amazed at the learning curve ease. And that's why I don't, why don't I want to produce my podcast on my computer? Because I may get inspired out in the middle of Lake Lanier. I may get inspired at a conference. I may get inspired, on the side of the road in my car. When I have this equipment that's so easy and so portable, I can make high-quality content when I'm inspired, not going, oh, I got a great idea for a podcast, now I need to get back home to my computer. I like the fact that I can have it in a computer bag with me at all times, and I can create content when the inspiration hits. And like I said, even though I could do it on a computer, I love these apps that we train in the training.
Awesome. Hey, Mike, this has been fabulous. You've given me so much great content. I know my audience is going to get a lot out of it. We'll put links in the show notes and stuff like that. So if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, I'll just give out my real email address, mike@internetaudioguy.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. I check my email probably a billion times a day because I have an iPhone in my hand probably 24/7. May not check it at 3 a.m. I'm probably snoozing then. but I check email quite frequently, and mike@internetaudioguy.com. In fact, my website, internetaudioguy.com, has a little more information about me. And, of course, Mike Stewart Podcast. Love you to subscribe to my podcast. But, I intend on doing everything audio and video for the web. That's my podcast. And so don't let technology hold you back from making lots and lots of great content that's unique to you and proves you're the authority and proves you're the expert.
Outstanding. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been fabulous. I really appreciate you and your time. And thanks for being on the Bacon Podcast.
Hey, who doesn't love bacon?
Amen, brother.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.